This morning we're going to continue on. Well, before I go there, we're going to go to Uganda, Africa, my wife and I, August 13th, and do a minister's conference there and go out to some other places. So we covet your prayers. You say, oh, it's going to be so hot there, but we were there last year. Would you believe 85 is the average high temperature, 60s at night? And I tell you, the pineapple is the best in the world. So I'm going back for the pineapple for the month. Hallelujah. We're excited to be with you. And like I say, if you don't know who we are or have never heard us speak, I'm sorry. But I was born into the Amish family, into an Amish family. And I don't know what age I was exactly. I say 4 and 6. And my wife says, I don't know. You keep changing it. So I don't know. Anyway, one time or another, my father's parents left the old order Amish church, and we went to a church that had cars, black cars, electricity, and telephone. No radios, no record players, no, you know, TV. And that's the way I grew up. My father was a pastor in that church. And I thank the Lord for my heritage because I was always in church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. If there's Bible school or Bible classes, I was there. And some people say, oh, that's way too much church. No, no. Gave me a foundation of the Word of God. And so I'm thankful for the way I was brought up. No regrets. We had a great family life. We didn't sit and watch TV. We played games, or we played outside in the summer. So I give honor to my mom and dad, who are gone to be in glory, for caring about their family and making sure that we heard the Word of God. So you're here today, and you're going to hear a little more of the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And it's identity in crisis is the theme of this whole month. And Pastor, you get to finish it up next week. Hallelujah. He's already preached 2 awesome messages, and I don't know where to, you know, I said, what else can you say? There's so many things, but as I was praying, the Lord gave me some other things that I want to share with you and hope that we can relate. But all of you know that today there's a lot of confusion in our world, even in our families. It has come into the church, and maybe even you today, it's a part of your life. And it seems like everywhere we turn, if you turn on the news media, even here in this town, there's violence, there's shooting, there's burning buildings all over the world, total destruction, war, and we could go on and on with things that have happened. And we ask ourselves, what's next? You know, what's coming next? And so this confusion and uncertainty sometimes can trigger a problem in our lives, which we call identity. And we don't know who we are, what's going to happen next. We're fearful. I know during COVID, there's some people, a lady was telling me, she said, I have kids. I don't know if I want to send them to school. I don't know what's going to happen, if they're going to get sick and die. And she was all confused. But we know that when we turn to the Lord and trust Him, that He takes care of us. Amen? So as believers, we know and understand God's word today. It teaches us that the things that we have seen and are seeing are signs of Christ's return. And we also know that the Bible teaches us it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse and worse, right? And so when we see these signs and things getting worse, we as believers know that it's getting ready. Jesus is getting ready to come back again. Amen. He's setting up for His return, even though Jesus said in Matthew that of that day and of that hour, no one knows except my Father in heaven. Not even the angels know. But here's the thing. He could come in a second today. He could come this evening while you're sleeping. He could come tomorrow. We don't know exactly when, but we do know this: we need to be ready. And if you're playing church, you're not going to make it. Jesus gave a parable of the 10 virgins. He said, 10 were, 5 were ready and 5 were not. You know, when it came time, when the bride came, the 5 that were ready were able to go with the bridegroom. But the other 5 had to go look for some oil. And when they came to the wedding and knocked on the door, Jesus said, or the bride said, I don't even know you. The bridegroom said, I don't even know you. Depart. So without God, this is the hope of all of this. Without God, without turning him everything or giving him everything of who we are, our uncertainty, our problems, if we don't turn them over to him, if we don't turn our confusion over to him, then we are going to have an identity crisis ourselves. Because I believe, unless you know who you are in the days to come, that when the evil comes, that you might find yourself running for your life, trying to hide, keep from destruction, killing you. And that might be before the rapture, and if you're left behind, that will be after the rapture. Boy, you're quiet. It's true. I remember Big Steve used to come to the church. He's passed on to glory. And whenever I'd speak on Sunday night and he'd be here, in that parking lot one day, he said, I think that you and I are going to be left behind when the rapture comes. I said, you can stay, but I'm going. Well, praise the Lord, he's gone to heaven now. We give him the glory. He's passed on. But it's going to be unbelievable what will happen after the church is raptured. You do not want to be left behind. So how do you change that? You pray a prayer. You dedicate your life. You ask God for forgiveness. You ask God to help you. You ask him to give you strength to walk with him. See, most of the world and most of the church tells you if you have a problem that you just kind of, you know, need to find your inner strength, right? Your inner spirit. The answer is within you. Just find that inner self and maybe calm yourselves by doing a little chant, maybe some yoga. And everything's going to be okay, right? But that's a lie. That's a big fat lie. That's not the way it works. Amen? The only way to find the answer to our problems is to turn to the Lord our God. And give him everything of what you have. I mean, the whole theme this morning. You guys didn't know what I was going to speak, but the Holy Spirit did. See, the truth is, when you need that financial miracle, you need that miracle in your body, there's only one. It's only one person who can do that for you, and that's the Lord our God. Hallelujah. And I believe that Lord will also guide us so we can find our place, our purpose, and his plans for our life. I really believe that. One of my favorite scriptures, or a couple of my favorite scriptures, are found in Proverbs chapter 3. Some of you that greet me every Sunday, hear me quote these, but it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, what? Acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We know that when we give it to God, we're not going to be in confusion, that he's going to step in, he's going to give us an understanding, and he's going to take us to the place and the plan that he has for us when we were born. Amen? Amen? So who's motivating you? Your ambitions. Who's driving the car? Where are you going? I'm a mechanic, so I like cars, you know. Where do you think your life is going? Who's in charge? There's a story in Ezekiel about Moses. You know, Moses and God have a little chat. I'll paraphrase it. But they meet and they're doing some talking, and God says to Moses, I am that I am. Because Moses was questioning who to tell the people that he was representing. And then Moses says, who am I? Who am I that you should send me to the people? Well, there was a test, and I believe this is maybe where we're at today. God says to Moses, cast down your rod. Throw down your rod. You see, a shepherd, the rod was everything represented. It was who they are. I believe maybe he had it whittled on that rod. His wife's name, Zipporah, and his son's name, Gishom. And maybe how many animals he had killed to save the sheep, or how many sheep he delivered. You know, this was his whole life, that rod. And the Lord said, cast it down in front of me. See, that's what God was asking us this morning, was to come and lay down our lives for him. See, Moses was trying to understand God. And many of us here today, we're trying to understand God, right? We want to know God more fully. But earlier, Moses was trying to make his own identity, right? We know the story. He was trying to deliver his Hebrew people and from Pharaoh. It didn't quite work out the way he thought. They didn't accept him. They didn't call him brother because he was raised, what, a prince of Egypt. So emotionally, part of Moses, part of his identity is with the Hebrews, part of it with the Pharaoh, with his upbringing. But deep down inside, he knows he can never be, what, a true Egyptian. He lacks identity. He doesn't know where he fits in. Until, this is the answer, he meets God face to face. Until he has that conversation with God. He's been rejected. Some of you here today have been rejected. But God says to him, you will be my identity to Pharaoh and the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Who, me? Wow, God, me? You can use me? Look at what I've done. But see, it comes a factor, comes in there. We say to God, how could you ever use me? Look at all of the things that have happened in my life. Look at all the things I've done. But it's called trusting God. I believe I heard that in the word that God spoke to us this morning. That he wants us to trust him. See, trust is a firm belief in the reality or the truth or ability or strength in someone. So we have to put our confidence in the Lord if we're going to know who we are. And I believe, you know, all of us know God loves you. We say that to everybody, God loves you. But when we really know the love of God, it becomes a part of who we are. I believe that we can then say, I trust you, God. Here's my identity. I give it to you. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to the man that was cross-examining him, if you will, trying to trap him. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with what? All of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The next verse says, and the second is love your neighbor as yourself. But I believe if we can learn to love the Lord with all of our heart, with everything of who we are, there can be a change. And I believe that change will come to a place in our hearts where we will have stability. We will have an understanding. Hallelujah. We will have peace. You know, we go on a lot of trips. We get invitations to go anywhere around the world, but we only go where we feel peace. Because sometimes there's turmoil. We don't feel like we should go there, so we don't go there. But the Lord will bring peace to your spirit. And some of you are still searching for that hope. Some of you are still looking for God. But I want to encourage you to never give up because he's here. And some of you don't even know where you fit in your life. But I'll let you know that we were all created for a purpose, with a purpose. for a purpose. Hallelujah. If you don't believe that, ask Jeremiah. Who's Jeremiah? Well, we'll go talk to him here on Jeremiah chapter 1. I want to read the first five verses, 5 to 10, if I get to say that right, Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. And then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am what, a youth? But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and then to build and to plant. See, Paul was talking to Timothy. He said, don't let anyone think of you, less of you. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example of to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, and in faith, and in purity. God is calling forth the youth. Hallelujah. He's calling forth the young people, the young generation. Hallelujah. Jeremiah didn't think he had an identity because he was a young man, right? They figure somewhere between the ages of 17 and 20 is when this conversation was going on. But you're never too young. Or, Brother Ron, too old. To find your true identity in Christ. Hallelujah. Because God has given each of us an identity. Amen. Maybe we just need God to touch our mouth. Maybe we need God to touch our mouth and change what we speak. Because see, God said to Jeremiah, I put my words in your mouth, and now you go out to the nations. You go out and speak to them. Wow, what a change, man. We need to begin to speak his word in our lives, over every situation, everything we face, whether it looks possible or impossible. Yeah. Somebody said every morning they get up, they anoint themselves with the oil. You know, we have the oil, anointing oil, and they pray over their body and over themselves every day. But I saw this lady, and she probably in her late 80s, and she looked pretty healthy. But what we say, what comes out of our mouth, usually determines the direction that we're going to go in our life. Usually determines how we're going to live. Usually determines our blessings in our life or the curses in our life. I know we don't like to hear it, but it's true. So in creation, God, I believe, saw the need for man's dominance and for man's reproduction. So verse 27 of Genesis 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We've heard this verse for the last 3 Sundays, I believe, but it's so true. Unless we know where we came from and who created us, then we're going to be confused and mixed up. He didn't change us or he didn't trance us. Uh-oh, now you're missing. He created man and woman, the Bible says. Our identity is in Christ's creation, God's creation. Amen? Amen? How he formed us in the womb. How delicate he made us. How perfect he made us. Just look at the one beside you and say, you look perfect today. That's a creation from God. Amen? Hallelujah. You weren't lying, right? Okay. Because our world has an identity crisis, they try to solve that problem in many different ways, through drugs, alcohol, sex, and one of those ways goes like this. Well, I was born a boy, but now I feel like a woman. Can you change me to a woman? Or I was born a girl and I want to be a man. Confusion, uncertainty, no stability, no common sense. Those people who want to do that fall into the enemy's trap of lies and half-truths. So it's no wonder that our youth, is it Generation Alpha or Generation Z or the millennials that are all confused, they don't know where they fit in, who am I, what determines my identity, what is the purpose of my life? The world says one thing. The world says many things, right? Just go on, look inward, go on a journey of self-discovery. That's what the world tells you. Things that make you happy. Ignore judgment. So our emotions get the ruling vote of who we really are. Because we're told by the world to live by our emotions, to live by our feelings. Maybe you can relate because, and this fits all of us today, because maybe the people or the person who was supposed to support you and encourage you, you had dreams and visions, they laughed at them. So you sense the call of God, a strong call of stirring of a passion to serve God. And just one person telling you no, just one person coming against you, and you gave up. He said, well, it must not be worth it. Or maybe the teacher, she didn't like you, and the coach said you always do things wrong, or your brother or sister, they got it all together, and they make everybody happy where you don't. Your boss is very negative. Maybe your spouse is negative. Somewhere you got the message, I'm not good enough. You're not good enough, right? Maybe that's how Moses felt. Who am I, God, that you could use me? Look what I've done in my life, how I've messed things up, killed somebody. We'd be done, right? See, earlier in his life, he had a lot of confidence. He knew who he was, but when he failed, that confidence went away. And now he was uncertain until what? He met God face to face and they had a little talk. And I believe that's where we're at today. Our identity in Christ. You want that? What do you want? Identity in Christ or identity crisis? Our identity in Christ begins with the gospel. When we understand, not only hear it, but when we understand it, it gets in our heart that God loves me, we're chosen by God, we're redeemed, we're forgiven. I believe we begin to understand who we are. And as a creation of God, He loves us just the way we are. That's a revelation that we all need. And that's a foundation that we can build our lives upon. Jesus Christ is that foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11, if you want to read it for yourself. But that foundation gives us stability. It gives us peace. It gives us love. It shows us forgiveness. It shows how God can restore us. And it just puts hope in our spirit. And that goes on and on in our life. We can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. Step out and try to do it yourself. You'll be like Peter. You'll fail. So we have a great example of a man called Peter. Pastor talked about Peter, the disciple, last week. He was a fisherman when Jesus called him, and immediately he left his nets and followed Jesus. Then his identity became a disciple of Christ, right? He witnessed so many miracles. Even from the day that he started walking with the Lord Jesus, there was miracles, miracles. He was a brave disciple. He stepped out on the water. The other 11 didn't try that. But he was brave enough, he took steps. He also was bold. Jesus asked the disciples in Matthew 16 and 13, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave a bunch of names, and then Jesus says, "No, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter, he pipes up, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God, the Living God." He was bold. But he was also scared and humbled. He denied Jesus during the crucifixion 3 times before the rooster crowed. And yet he went out and wept bitterly for his sin of denial. See, today there's people that deny Jesus, but they think it's okay. They don't even go out and are sorry for it. That wasn't on my notes either. But it's true. It's kind of like the 5 virgins that weren't ready. They were wanting to go to the party that came to dedication in their lives. They weren't ready to give that. And some of us today, we want the name of Christian. We want the glory of going to church, giving tithes, singing and worshiping. But when it comes to dedication, and the trials, where is your dedication? We know that when Jesus arose and began walking and talking with the disciples, and I had many others, that one of those people that Jesus talked with was Peter, right? And he restored Peter back as a disciple of his. So now Peter has his identity back, right? He made a mistake. He was a fisherman. He made a mistake. He was bold. He saw a lot of miracles. He wasn't afraid to speak. But all of a sudden, who he was scared him because he thought they were going to kill him too. See, we need to be tested. We need to be tried. You say, well, that doesn't even make sense, but it talks about it in the Bible that the trying of your faith works patience, and the next step and the next step, and when you come out of all those trials, you're a vessel that God can begin to use. So I think it's John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, you will have trials, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Amen. So we go to Christ when we have our problems and our trials. We turn to the Lord because he's walked that path before us and he was victorious. Amen? So we're going to go to Acts chapter 2 and look at the different Peter now. Acts chapter 2. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." There was something so magnificent happening, so great. And Peter was one of those recipients of the power of the Holy Spirit. And he began to enter into the best time of his life. It's coming from a power so great that it gave back his boldness, but this time it wasn't from within, it was from the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 12 says of Acts chapter 2, "People were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What could this mean?' When they all began to speak, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit, they went out into the crowds, and people didn't know what was going on. Let's go to verse 14, and we're going to read through 21. But Peter, standing up with the 11, now listen to this, raised his voice. Bold, now in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the moment of the crucifixion, he was scared, he was afraid, and he denied Christ. But now, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day or 9 o'clock in the morning." All right? But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and upon my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the noon into blood before the coming of that great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hallelujah. See, this prophecy that Joel gave has only been partly fulfilled. There's still more to come. And I'm excited about that. There's more to come. But we know that Peter's not just a disciple now, because a disciple is translated as one that's not just a learner, as a student, but a follower, and he's one who applies what he has learned. This is a disciple. If you have a disciple today, they are not only listening and learning, but if they're a true disciple, they're going to apply what they hear you say or what you're teaching them. So now Peter has his identity. What is that? He knows what the call is. It's to speak the word of God, to preach the word of God. Amen? We all have been given that identity, right? We all can speak the word of God. We can all preach. If you don't believe it, go down on the square and begin to preach, and people will come and listen to you. But for us today, it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that changes. Changes us, changes our words, change how we speak. Because it's the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. That's the Holy Spirit that made the difference in Peter. We need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. Because the Holy Spirit breaks down the strongholds. Amen? Takes away the impossibilities. And even makes us smarter than our schooling. That's right. You may have an eighth grade education, but when you preach, you can preach like one who has a college degree or been to seminary. Amen? But Peter's teaching and preaching was so powerful. We'll go to verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" His preaching was so strong, so powerful, that they cried out, "What should we do?" Because he was telling them that they killed the one who God sent to redeem them. They didn't see it. It was prophesied to them, but their eyes were blinded. Verse 38, and Peter replied, "Each of you must repent. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Amen. But verse 40. "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" About 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. Hallelujah. Pastor, what would we do with 3,000, huh? Hallelujah. Then in Acts 4, you go to Acts 4 and verse 4, after they had healed a lame man, it says 5,000 men were added to the group. So now we have a big church. But listen to what he said. He was so powerful in his teaching that it shook people to the core. They began to cry out because they didn't know what to do next. He gave them the answer, and we have that answer here today. He says, repent. Repent. Don't cover it up. Don't say, I'm sorry, but repent, which means to turn and change the way that you're doing things. But we also need to understand that he warned them to be saved from that crooked and perverse or unjust generation. Today we're living in an unjust generation. Leaders are being promoted and inspired by demonic spirits. Read Ephesians 6:12. We're fighting a war that is spiritual, not physical. So we have to get into the Spirit. That's why we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Hallelujah. And I could ask you, is your identity in crisis today? And really only you're the one that can answer that, right? Because you're the only one that can make that decision. And we want to play the blame game. Well, my life is like it is because of so-and-so and, you know, what they did to me and how I was raised. But most of the time, we are the ones. I am the one that makes that decision for my life. We are the ones sometimes that have chosen, made our own bed, they say, by our own self-indulgence. We're poor today because we've gone out and spent more money than we have income. I don't know why I said that, but it's true. We overextend ourselves. We don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So to change the outcome of our life, to change the outcome of your life, then you are the one, right? You are the one that's going to have to change. And God is waiting for you today. Hallelujah. You want to stay the way you are? Or you want to let God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, give you the strength that you need to take the steps and accept His forgiveness. Cry out for His forgiveness. Say, Lord, come into my life. Help me. I want to serve you. Give me the identity that I need today. Because we all need an identity. Hallelujah. Where's your identity? Is it in crisis or is it in Christ? There's a big difference there. Amen. If it's in Christ, then we can withstand the storms that are coming and the problems that are coming. I mean, Sonny didn't know. Kay didn't know that there was going to be problems. We never know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to worship. But you're the only one who can choose what you want the outcome of your life to be. You're going to play church, you're going to be real. You're going to be one of the five virgins who were ready or one of the five who just wanted to party. It's up to you. It's your choice. Nobody's forcing you. But I can guarantee you this. There will be a day if you choose not to follow Him, and I'm not putting scare tactics into you, but there will be a day you wish you'd have said yes to the Lord. Because it says every knee will bow. Everyone in the whole world will be brought before the judgment seat of God. And he will have to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Or he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. So the call for you today is make it right. Moses didn't get it right to start with, but he did later. And that opportunity is still for you. So as our worship team begins to worship, I want you to leave the lights bright, if you will. Let's all stand together. We're going to pray. And if you're saying that I need to change some things, the altar's open. I need to make sure that when I come into the presence of the Lord, that he knows my name and he finds my name written in that book. Hallelujah. So will you worship with me? We're going to pray because prayer makes a difference. We're going to pray because I believe when we pray that it doesn't bounce off the ceiling. I believe that it goes to the throne room of God. It says where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and me. And there's intercession that's going on day and night for your soul, for your family, for your children. And we need to know that God is for us and not against us. And that his plan is so great and so wonderful that we can never give up. Father, we thank you. We are so thankful for your love, Lord. We're so thankful that you don't give up on us. We're so thankful that we have second and third and 2,200th chances, opportunities. But we do know that you created us with a purpose and a plan. So we want to enter into that, not wait, not tarry, but do what you've called us to do in this day and this hour. Because we know, Lord, there are many souls who have not heard the gospel, who have heard some half-truths, who maybe go to church every Sunday but don't hear the truth. Today, Lord, you have spoken, and we accept that word in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The altar call is open. The altar is open if you want to pray or you want us to pray with you. We will do that as well. So, hallelujah.